Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to back to the first of our weekly Parsha Shiurim for the semester, or for the year, I should say. And the Shiur and the lunch is sponsored today, every week, by Jake and Karen Abelevitz, in memory of Jake's parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah Bas Avraham. The neshama should have an aliyah. And we should all hopefully grow and find some spiritual meaning and add some depth to our understanding through their generosity. Okay, our parsha this week is Kitetze, and I would like to focus on. I know if you just sort of take a quick look, I'm just curious. What would you, I mean, I know you saw my sheet already, but what would you, don't look. All right, what would you, on this parsha, what would you focus on if you had one thing to, so Morty, you said Amalek, so that would be good. Okay, war would be a good, an interesting topic. All right. Any other topics of interest, particularly, yeah, today is... Yep, today is 9/11, and hopefully, I think what I have to say is I think related to a relevant message for 9/11. Okay, right. If you go through the parsha, you see there are a lot of different topics here. Chibi pointed out there are 74 mitzvos. You said in this week's parsha, 74. So I'm not going to go through all 74 mitzvos, but I'm going to laser beam us into page 1050, Perek Chaf Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis. Okay. All right, so it's page 1050. Pasuk says, Gidilim ta'aselach al arba kanfos kisuscha asher techase bach. That you shall make for yourself Gidilim. Art Scroll translates Gidilim as twisted threads, gedilim. These are some strands that one hangs off of the corner of their clothing. So gedilim tasalach al rabakan fos kesuscha sher techaseba. So what is this talking about? Tzitzis. Okay? Right, clearly talking about tzitzis. So before we talk about tzitzis, in this context here, I would like to draw our attention to the sitter. And look at where tzitzis comes up in the Siddur on a daily basis. So where do we recite the mitzvah of tzitzis? Kriyashma. So how about just open up your Siddur for a second? And I would like to address the following essential question. This is a fundamental question which I'd like to answer in the course of the shiur today. And that is, if we look at Kriyashma is broken up into what we call three parshios. The first pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and the first paragraph, so we sort of consider that all together, even though they can be attended to differently, independently. But the first paragraph, then you have V'haya Im Shemoa, and then you have Vayomer Hashem. So what's the content of the first paragraph of Shema? If you had to summarize it into a theme, what's the theme of the first paragraph of Shema?
Loving Hashem wherever you go.
Okay, loving Hashem wherever you go. I'll take that. Anybody else? It's not a trick question. Okay, so, all right. Shema would be about Avas Hashem, love of Hashem. Would be anything else? Okay, tefillin. Shartem los al yadecha vayulat tefillos beninecha. Tefillin. So we have a mitzvah. Okay, tefillin. We got a mitzvah of tefillin. And we have mezuzah. Okay. So anything else? What?
Teach your children.
Shinata levanecha. Okay.
Speak about Torah.
Right. Just right here, Torah. Torah, mezuzah, tefillin. Right. I mean, we put it all together, our opening pasuk is the key sentence, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which is not just Avas Hashem, but it is acknowledging Hashem, Hakaras Hashem, or as you might say, Kabbalas, O Malchus Shemayim. Right, that we sort of acknowledge and accept God as our, you know, as our divine progenitor of all. Okay, so that's the first that's the first paragraph of Shema. Okay, if you had to sort of put a theme around the second paragraph of Shema, right, second parsha, what would the theme around the second parsha be? Again, not a trick question. Just trying to draw it out here for a second. Okay. So the second parsha is V'haya im Shamoa, and it will be if you will listen, and if you don't listen. So put that into a phrase. And Marjorie, I think, is correct. Schar ve'onesh. Okay? Schar ve'onesh, reward and punishment. Reward and punishment. Okay, anybody else? It's true, we also have... you know, we have some of these other things as well. We have Kshaytim Lo Sal Yadchem, Yilatot Avos Bein Enechem. We have Mezuzah and Torah and, you know, and all of that, or some of it. But Schar V'Onesh presupposes there's reward and punishment. That presupposes that there is a rewarder and a punisher. Uh-huh. Right? Right, there's no reward and punishment if there's nobody meeting out the reward and punishment. So, Schar V'Onesh is, I think, a good theme for Parsha number 2, but it presupposes a bigger theme, I think, and that is Hashgachas Hashem, God's involvement, Hashgachas Hashem, God's involvement in the world and in our lives. Right? Hashgacha Pratis, that there is divine involvement and providence within our lives. Okay, so we have Shema, love of Hashem, acknowledging Hashem as, you know, our Creator, Kabbalah Samach Shemayim, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, right? And then we have V'haya, which is Schar V'Onesh, Hashkachas Hashem, perhaps, you know, accepting upon ourselves the mitzvos, more generally speaking. And then you have Vayomer. So what's Vayomer about? What's Vayomer about? Vayomer is about, correct, it's about tzitzis. Okay. Primarily about tzitzis. There's one, I want to say a throwaway line, but it's not a throwaway line, but it's the last line, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Me'aretz Mitzrayim, Lo Lachem Elokim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Emes. So, we have here at the end, you know, most of it is talking about tzitzis, right? And then a charge, you should wear these tzitzis. What's the purpose of the tzitzis? L'man tizkeru, to remind us of the mitzvos, to do the mitzvos. I am Hashem, your God. So I would like to suggest that there is one of these paragraphs that doesn't belong. Would you like to guess which one I think is the one that doesn't belong? What? Yeah, we have three parshios here, Shema, V'haya, and Vayomer.
What sense that they don't belong?
I think that, you know, there are two squares and a circle here, or two circles and a square. In other words, I think that if you look at the themes here, that one of these paragraphs, in my view, doesn't belong. You can get. I think you can guess which one I think it is.
Could be the one in red.
Could be the one in red. Right. But if you don't agree with me, please tell me. But if you do, I mean, if you look through it, I think that, I mean...
It's an afterthought. The first two go along, and the third one was an afterthought added after the episode of the spies.
Okay, well, let's... If you want to put some historical framing around it, perhaps. But what about just thematically speaking? Thematically speaking. Shema... It's about, you know, God, Mitzvos, Hashem. V'haya is about Schar V'Onesh, again, about Hashem, the Mitzvos, doing the Mitzvos, God. And then you have here Vayomer, which is about one mitzvah of Tzitzis, which of course is to remind us, the Torah says to remind us of the other mitzvos, but it seems really very, very limited. And these are big, grand things here, Shema and Vahaya. Two big parshios with grand themes and grand visions, sweeping visions. I mean, these are fundamentals of Jewish life. I'm not saying that tzitzis is not a fundamental of Jewish life, but it's a mitzvah. It's one mitzvah of all the mitzvahs. It's not like even if it's to remind us of other mitzvahs, but it's a mitzvah. So, that being the case, I'm wondering why we attach Vayomer to the other two parshios of what we call Kriyat Shema. Yeah?
Well, first of all, before that, are we talking about tefillin? And tefillin, you know, that's physical. Tzitzis is also physical. And the two go together. You put your talis on, and you put your tefillin on. So there is a correlation point, a connection between the two.
Okay, that's a fair connection. And what I would suggest is that you're right. If we were looking at these parshios from a minutia perspective, you know, these contain some mitzvahs, this contains some mitzvahs, and this contains a mitzvah. But I think if you look at it from the bigger perspective, there's a big idea going on in Shema, there's a big idea going on in Vahaya. What's the big idea in Vayomer? It seems to me, at least on first glance, it's much more limited in its scope than the other two. Yeah. And why are we... You know, the other, and so therefore, why are we connecting it to the other two in Kriyat Shema? Yeah.
The tzitzis is more physical. We are physical beings.
Right. Tefillin and mezuzah are also physical.
Yeah. Right.
So if you look at it from the perspective of the mitzvos that are discussed, so I think it certainly falls into play. But the mitzvos that are discussed in the other parshios, they are not the essential theme of those parshios. There's a big theme of the parshios. And I'm not saying that these are not important and are not worth investigation and don't have important messages to teach us. What I'm suggesting is Shema and Vahaya are big, grand parshios. And Vayomer is very limited. It's tzitzis. So what is the, you know, why are these in fact connected? Why do we, you know, include it? Why do we say Vayomer, you know, every day? Yes... We do have one, you know, there is a bigger theme that's mentioned in Tzitzis, in Vayomer, other than Tzitzis. What's the last line? Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Sheretzesi Eschem, Me'aretz Mitzrayim. Right, so we have Yetzias Mitzrayim here. Okay, but again, if the theme of this, of Vayomer, is Yetzias Mitzrayim, I mean, that's like the throwaway line here, Yetzias Mitzrayim. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Sheretzesi Eschem, Yisrael Elokeichem, Elokim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. You know, there are parshios, there are sections of the Torah that deal with Yetzias Mitzrayim. So Yetzias Mitzrayim doesn't seem to be, even though we say it, you'll see that, you know, the Gemara says, we say it, that, you know, we're Mekayim, a mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim here, but the parsha itself is really primarily about tzitzis. So again, this is not my essential question. You want to say something else? Okay. What? Okay, thinking. Okay. So
when I shout a Shema Yisrael, Hashem, and you end with Hashem Elokeichem MS, so you have the beginning and the end together.
Good. That is certainly an excellent way to begin and end. You start with Hashem, you end with Hashem. I'm not saying that there is no meaning here. What I am saying is that there's a question that needs to be answered. My question is, what is the significance of the parsha of Tzitzis in context of the whole Kriyat Shema? These things seem to be two grand themes, and Vayomer seems to be a very, very limited thing.
So the hafta starts via hafta, and it has in Tzitzis, lo tatura acharei lo
vavachem. Good. So they both, you mean, have like some a level of emotion involved? Okay. All right, so maybe it's connected in that way. Okay. Okay. Let's take a look at the source sheet that I provided for you. And we'll see a few sections of the Gemara that are relevant to our discussion here. So let's start with the Gemara in Brachas Daf Yud Daled. You can follow along in the Hebrew or in the English. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha. Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha stated, Lama Kidma Parsha Shema, why is the Parsha of Shema recited before V'haya Im Shamoa? Right? And so he answers, to explain the order of these Parshios, and you can read the English, so that one will first accept upon himself the yoke of the kingdom of heaven, and only then accept upon himself the yoke of the mitzvos. So, Shema has a big grand theme here of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, Hashem, you know, and V'haya, Schar V'onesh, it's really all about accepting the mitzvos. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Tanya, we have a Braisa, which teaches, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, Bedin Hu, in reality, by right, Sheyaktim Shema Levahaya Im Shemoa. Shezel Ilmod Vizel Elamed. Vahaya Im Shemoa Levayomer. Shezel Ilmod Vizel Lasos. Zel Ilmod Vizel Lasos. Shema precedes Vahaya Im Shemoa because Shema includes the directive to learn, while Vahaya Im Shemoa includes also the directive to teach. Okay? Similarly, Vahaya Im Shemoa precedes Vayomer. Why? Because Vahayam Shamoa includes the directive to teach, while the Vayomer includes a directive to perform. So you have here, Shema is about Lilmod, to learn. Vahaya is about Lilamed, which is to teach. And Vayomer is Lasos, to do. To do. All right, so Margie asks the question. Go on, yeah. Okay, so let's read a little further. So the Gemara has a discussion sort of back and forth about the veracity of this statement. And the Gemara gets to the following point. And the Gemara says, turn to page 2, Elahachik Amar. Rav Shimon ben Yochai said the following. By right, badinhu, shetikdam shma levahaya im shamoa. Shma should come first before vahaya im shamoa, because shma includes the directive of lilmod, lelamed, and laasos. Shma has all three. Shma has lilmod, lelamed, and laasos. So that's why shma comes first. Continuing. However, vahaya im shamoa has to teach and to perform. Bahayam Shamoa is Lilamed, Shazeba Lilamed Vilasos. Shema Bahaya has 2 and 3. Right. And Vayomer Ainba El Alasos Bilvad. But in this hierarchy of teach, of learn, teach, and do, Vayomer only has the third one. So at least the Gemara here seems to indicate that that there is a grand theme here. There are three pillars of Jewish life. I mean, one is talking about Kabbalas Hashem and Kabbalas HaMitzvos and this mitzvah. But the big theme here, I think what the Gemara is struggling with is like to explain why all these are connected. So the Gemara says, right, one is, the Shema has these three pillars, learn, teach, and do. Bahaya has the pillars of teach and do. And Vayomer has the pillar of just doing. And so these are, and that's why they're ordered in that way. But these are three important pillars of life. It's not just enough to learn, right? There are plenty of intellectuals who know a lot about Judaism, but, you know, it's not enough to know. You have to actually do something with it. What do you have to do with it? So you have Lilame, which is to teach. That is, that it's not sufficient for a person to hoard the Torah himself, right? But to pass it on, that's a responsibility. It's not about being selfish, even spiritually selfish. Does anybody here know people that are spiritually selfish? Right, they're spiritually selfish that they're into their own spiritual development. They couldn't care less about the person next to them. And yeah, in all types of ways. I don't have to give you examples. I'm sure you know people like this. But the truth of the matter is that if a person is spiritually selfish, then they're not really spiritual people. Because part of being a spiritual being
is to acknowledge and engage the other. So being spiritually selfish is a stira mine ube. It is a inherent contradiction in terms. So three pillars of life. To learn, that means to engage yourself. To teach, which means to engage others. And lasos, you have to take it out of the world of abstract theory and put it into real practice. And these are three pillars which are worth reconfirming in our minds on a daily basis. Reaffirming in our minds on a daily basis. Yeah?
To me, it also with the first one, too, it's not just learning and loving, it was internalizing it to make it a part of me. When I was 14, before I became religious, and I was just exploring, I remember reading the Shema for the first time, and I said, well, if I'm going to spend all my time talking while I'm teaching, when do I live? And I didn't realize at that point it wasn't internalized yet, because that is life.
Right. So are you saying that as an overlay onto this, or are you saying internalizing is one of these three?
It's the first one.
Lil mode. Lil mode is to internalize it.
Right.
Is that it? Right.
So until I internalize it, understand, not necessarily understand everything,
right,
but internalize it, then I can definitely teach it and perform it. Otherwise, it's just a habit.
Right, right. All right, beautiful. Right, so Lil mode is about internalizing, and without, you know, each one of these has an important pillar to it. Okay, take a look at the Gemara on the middle of page 2. Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara Bracha says, Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Chaviva, 12b. Mipnei sheyesh ba chamisha dvarim, mitzvas tzitzis. Rav Yehuda Bar Chaviva says that the parsha of tzitzis is really significant in that it has five important elements to it. Mipnei sheyesh b'chamisha dvarim mitzvas tzitzis. It has five things. What are they? Yitzias Mitzrayim, number one. All mitzvos, which is the accepting upon ourselves the yoke of the mitzvos. Two. Vidas minim, the admonition against the opinions of the heretics. In other words, that we should be constantly vigilant that we are not engaged in heretical thought or behavior. All right. Hir hor avera, thoughts, ruminations of sin and licentiousness. And hir hor avodah zara, and ruminating about avodah zara. So vayomer. So what is Rav Yehuda saying? Rav Yehuda saying basically, don't think that vayomer is just a throwaway parsha over here. Here you got two big grand ideas, Shema, Vahaya. These are big grand ideas. Vayomer is just a throwaway. It's got one mitzvah and that's it. No, vayomer actually has five important things in it. Five very significant things, right? And again, they are tzitzis, yitzias Mitzrayim. In our minds to be conscious about heresy and fantasizing about avodah zara and other types of licentious transgressions. Okay, so that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. So one way to look at this, each one of these has a important pillar of Judaism, Lilma Mamin Lazos, 3, 2, 1. The other is to say Vayomer itself has five important things. And each one of those, not for discussion now, but each one of those is worth sort of exploring why they're important. Okay? And let's just look a little further here. In response, the Gemara recites a braisa where these elements were derived from allusions in the Pasuk. Tanya, acharei levavchem, how do you see these five things in, how do you see these five things, bottom of page 2, top of page 3, how do you see these five things in the parsha of Vayomer? So he says, each one comes from the pasuk. Acharei levavchem, that is heresy. Any cites a pasuk for that. Acharei einechem, zohir haraver, looking after your eyes, that is fantasizing about sins. Then you have atem zonim, zehur her avodah zara, the things that you lust after, that refers to avodah zara, and similarly. I missed one over here. Shimshon v'kacha ki yishar be'ine temzonim zehir avodah zar v'cheinu omer v'yiznu acher ba'alim. And I think I missed one piece of it because that's only four. Okay, but either way, what we get here is Vayomer has five important elements. Okay, but now I would like to suggest that there is another way of looking at the mitzvah of the parsha of Vayomer, and that is to focus on what seems to be a very minute detail of the mitzvahs, of one of the 613 mitzvahs, tzitzis, and to make the argument that tzitzis is not just one mitzvah of 613 tagged on here to the end, but in fact, from this mitzvah of tzitzis, there is a very big, grand vision that the Torah that is being put forth, for which we recite this every day. It's connected to Shema Vayim Shema. This is a big idea. It's not simply just the mitzvah of tzitzis. So what's, if I ask it this way, what's the big idea? Okay? So what's the big idea here? So now, let's go back to our parsha Ki Teitze, and let's look at the mitzvah of tzitzis. Okay? Of course, we have the mitzvah of tzitzis in Vayomer, but I want to focus on this parsha over here on page 1050, Ki Teitze, to try to draw out an important idea regarding tzitzis, and thus, I believe, to suggest, I think, a very, very big idea that that is being put forward here. Yeah?
Yeah, I have a question on tzitzis.
Yep.
As far as being, it's an area which is totally dependent, according to the Pasuk, on Arba Kanfos. If you don't have Arba Kanfos, you don't have tzitzis. Period.
Correct.
So it's a mitzvah. You say, oh, it's a very important mitzvah. But if you don't have Arba Kanfos, you don't have the mitzvah. You don't do it.
Okay. I think that is a very valid point, and we're going to come back to that. If I don't, remind me at the end. Okay, so let's take a look at our parsha over here. Pasuk says back on page 1050, Gedilim ta'aselach. You should make these strings, these fringes, these strands. Al arba kanfos kesuscha shet chaseba. On the four corners of your garment. So, what are some of the halachas that we know, either from this pasuk or from the parsha Vayomer? What do we know about tzitzis?
Anybody? I mean, just some basic things. Yeah. Okay, there is a way that tzitzis are meant to be tied, especially in our day and age when many people are not using the tchelas. There are also ways, but whether you have tchelas, you don't have tchelas, there are particular ways in which the tzitzis are meant to be tied and knotted. Okay. What else do we know about tzitzis? Kissing tzitzis is a minhag. It's not a, even though everybody does it, but it is not, you can fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis even if you don't kiss them.
The garment that the tzitzit are attached to, does it have to be made out of a certain material?
Yep, so there's a discussion about the garment of the tzitzis, the nature of the garment, the material, and the material that the tzitzis are made of. And that is an issue as well. What is the most fundamental part of the mitzvah of tzitzis, or the two most famous pieces of the mitzvah of tzitzis?
Remind us?
No, in terms of the halacha.
Well, what's the color of tzitzis?
White.
Right.
White.
So you have basically white, but there's one strand which is tchelas. Right?
Tchelas. Yeah.
Blue.
Well, they do make it today. There are Zener Hasidim believe that they have the tchelas. And what?
Eichler's
doesn't carry their Zener tchelas. And then there's a group of people in Israel that have also done some work, and which is
they think they've gotten it.
Yeah, and nobody can say 100% for sure until Mashiach, but there is a very very strong possibility that they are correct.
99%
yeah.
Are white.
So, right. That is
on
that
a white garment or off-white.
That is correct. So the tcheles, okay, is mitzvah of tzitzis. The other piece of the tzitzis is that it has to be on four corners, right? As it points out over here. So if we read the parsha of Shema, the Be'er B'nei Yisrael v'asulahem tzitzis, p'til t'cheles, z'chartem v'asisam sam v'los asur achari levavchem. So it has to be t'cheles, and over here, the point that is made is that it has to be four-cornered garment, right? So, G'dil t'cheles al arba kanfos kesuscha. Okay, so from the parsha that we have in Shema, that talks about Tcheles, and over here it talks about very primarily the four corners. Okay, so why is Tcheles the color of tzitzis, or said the other way, what is the purpose of having tcheles in our tzitzis? Right, to remind us of the heavens. So let's take a look at it. The famous Chazal. Take a look on page 4 here. Okay, chut tcheles maihi. What is the purpose of this chut tcheles, of this tcheles string? Okay, the Tanya, Brisa teaches. Hi, Rabbi Meir Omer. Manishtana Tcheles Mikol Minitzevonin. Why was Tcheles chosen to be the color of Tzitzis more than any other color? Mipnei Sha Tcheles Dome Liyam. V'yam Dome L'Rakia. V'Rakia Dome L'Kisei HaKavod. Because Tcheles corresponds to the sea. Right? Tcheles is sea blue. And the sky blue, and the sea reflects the blue of the sky, right? Well, that's why it's blue, right? Right. Not Coney Island. That would be sea gray, right? And the sky corresponds to the Kisei HaKavod, God's heavenly throne. Right. This is a famous teaching. Right? You look at the tcheles, you look at the blue of the tzitzis, and you remember God's heavenly throne. Here's the question. Why go through all these steps over here? Why not just say, you know, if tcheles is dome le yam, yam dome le rakia, rakia dome le kisei hakavod, just say, tcheles dome le kisei hakavod. Why go through all these steps? Just go straight from A to C. If A equals B, B equals C, and C equals D, so A equals D, Tcheles Doma L'Rakia, Doma L'Kisei HaKavod. Well, I go through all these steps. And in fact, Rashi was bothered by this. So Rashi, on the bottom of your page, bottom of page 4, sorry I didn't have this in English, Rashi seems to be bothered by it, and he says, Balalam Deinu, Shekol HaMekayei Mitzvah Tzitzis, comes to teach us that whoever fulfills the mitzvah of Tzitzis, Ki'ilu Hikbil Pnei HaShechina, it's like he greeted God himself, right? Because when you see the Tcheles, you're reminded of the heavenly throne. When you wear the Tzitzis, it's like you're greeting God. V'hachi Tanya LeBesifrei, Ditzrichu Kol Hani, why do you need all these steps? Why go through all these steps? So before I tell you what Rashi says, what do you think? Why go through all these steps? What is the necessity? A equals B, B equals C, C equals D, A equals D. So just say, Tcheles Dome L'Rakia L'Kisei HaKavod.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. It's HaShemayim, HaOretz, you know, it's a total picture. You're just saying the Kisei, you're just pointing to one place. Here we're talking about the whole world, everything in total.
Okay, very good. So in other words, by going through this process here, we are sort of infusing Hashem into all these. You know, we're saying that Hashem is all part of it. Okay, or this has all become a divine spiritual place. You want to say something? Okay. Anybody else? We're bringing the holy into the physical. Tcheles doma liyam, yam doma l'rakia, rakia doma l'kisei hakavod. Okay. Let's take a look at what Rashi says. Rashi says, the reason that you need all these steps is Mishum delo ashkechan kray ela birakia shadom alakisei hakavod. We only have a biblical verse that connects these two together, the sky and the heavenly throne. But the fact of the matter is, tcheles dom liyam v'yam dom alarakia is not really true. Did the tcheles lo dami larakia kol kach ela dome ledome kimo tcheles dome lamara hayam. In other words, just to read it again, tcheles dome liyam v'yam dome larakia. The reason that we say that A is that tcheles is like the sea, and the sea is like the sky, because the sea is not really like, because tcheles is not really like the sky. It's dome ledome. Tcheles lo dami lirakia directly. Ela dome ledome, but it's similar, it's similar. Kimo tcheles dome lamara hayam. Tcheles looks a little bit like the sea, and the sea looks a little bit like the sky. Vanan kachazinan diyam dome lamara harakia. And then once we get here, we can see that the sky, is like the heavenly throne.
Right.
So Rashi's basic view here is, the reason that we go through these steps is because if we want to get from Tcheles to heavenly throne, we have to go through these steps, because it's not really connected in a straight line. It's not really connected in a straight line. The best you can get is Rakia Doma Lekisei HaKavod. C is like D. But to get from A even to C, you got to go through this step over here. A is to C, A is to B, and B is to C. Because this is Dome Le Dome. It's not exactly a one-to-one connection. So if that is the case, okay, so you know, we ask ourselves again, well, what is the, you know, what's the point here? What's the idea? So let's go back into our Chumash. And I would like to point out, look at the Pasuk just before and the Pasuk just after. Pasuk just before and the Pasuk just after. What's the pasuk just before talking about? Shatnes. Okay. Shatnes is taking two items that are not supposed to, halachically, are not supposed to be together, and if you put them together, then you violate a Torah law. What's the pasuk, at least the first part of the pasuk, right after tzitzis? Pasuk 13, what's it talking about? Marriage. Okay, so we have three things here which really seem to be oddly connected. We have shatnes, we have tzitzis, and then after that we have marriage. So Chazal say, you know, when you have three things like this, when you have that are so disconnected from one another in the Chumash, you have to ask yourself, well, what is the connection? What is the connection? I mean, if it's so disconnected, it's not disconnected. It can't be just a, you know, ridiculous, haphazard, arbitrary organization. So Chazal say, you know what? Tzitzis and Shatnes are connected. How so? G'dilim ta'aselach. Where do you want to say?
Yeah, you're wearing a garment. You're talking about a garment.
It's not just that you're talking about a garment, but in its pure form, if you have a garment which is shatnes, right? If you have a wool garment or a linen garment in wool and tzitzis, it does not make it shatnes. The mitzvah of tzitzis overcomes the prohibition of shatnes.
Okay,
so tzitzis can, yeah, this tzitzis situation can, it can be shatnes, but it, you're not violating the prohibition of shatnes. It's called as, yeah, it is permissible for it to be shatnes. So and this is called, this is based on the principle of aseh docha lo taseh. Okay, so this is a halachic discussion over there. Tzitzis overcomes shatnes. Now, what?
Juxtaposed.
Yes, it is juxtaposed for that reason. And this is what everybody talks about. But there is another very strange juxtaposition here, and that is tzitzis and marriage. What's that? What's the connection there? So there's a famous idea which is cited in the name of the Maharil, one of the late Rishonim, early Achronim, and he says from this juxtaposition we derive the following practice that we, whoever we is that a young man does not wear a talis until he's married. Tzitzis goes with marriage. So the minhag in Ashkenaz, well, actually, not so much Ashkenaz, the minhag in other places, is not to wear the talis until you're married. And the minhag in others is that you wear a talis, but you don't wear the talis over your head until you're married. So here you have a juxtaposition. What?
We're still wearing
a talis katan. That is correct. But this the practice that we have of wearing the talis gadol, right? So some you see in many communities, only married people wear it, or only married people put it over their head. So that is based on this juxtaposition of tzitzis and marriage. Okay, but I think that there's something deeper going on here. Yeah.
Doesn't just say marriage, it talks about bad marriage.
Right, so I'm not going to focus on the bad marriage part of it, because that you're right. After the pause in the pasuk, it says, Ki kach ish isha, pause, it's an esnachta, it's a pause. And then it says, Uva leha usneya, and he ends up hating her. So I think there's what to think about, talk about that, but I'm just going to focus on the first half of the pasuk, which is immediately juxtaposed to tzitzis. I would like to suggest the following here. The shatnes and marriage are actually similar.
Because men are like from Mars and women are from Venus.
Okay, so men are from Mars and women are from Venus. This is already, you know, the Torah already intuited this all these years ago, right? That if you think about it, shatness is taking two things which are not supposed to be together, right? And putting them together. Right. And tzitzis says, in the context of tzitzis is what allows that to happen. Okay? So marriage is also taking two things that might two beings that are significantly different, you know, hardwired in very different ways from one another. Bringing two very different beings together as one. In a certain sense, marriage is shatnes. I mean, it's not prohibited shatnes; it's encouraged shatnes. But in a certain way, it's shatnes. The Torah tells us these two things don't go together, except in the context of tzitzis.
And it's okay.
And marriage.
And you're supposed to do it. Marriage.
Yeah, and tzitzis.
And marriage. Supposed to do marriage.
Right. Okay. So we're building here to a song. Okay. So what? Okay. So Morty said that the idea of Tcheles, Dom LeYam, Dom LeRakia, Dom LeShamayim, in a certain way, is really ascribing Hashem to all areas of life. When we conceive of Hashem, we don't conceive of Hashem, or we should not conceive of Hashem, on His heavenly throne, somewhere distant, somewhere beyond, somewhere apart. But rather, we conceive of Hashem through a part of the very fabric of existence. Dom Eliyam, Dom Elrakia, Dom Elkisei HaKavod. It's all part of it. So on one level, the idea of tzitzis is to see Hashem, right, infusing all of existence, and to see kedusha, a possibility, as Marjorie said, the possibility of kedusha everywhere, that there's a possibility of taking the divine throne and infusing the divine throne in the sky where the birds are, in the sea where the fish are, right, and we wear the talis where we are. The tzitzis, as it were, the being wears it. So Hashem is everywhere. Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. But let's take it again, one more level here. And it's not just that Hashem is everywhere, but it's that the Ribbono Shel Olam created an existence in which he unites things which seem to be opposite and disconnected from one another. Hashem is the grand unifier of all things. Everything is really, from God's perspective, you know, we aren't disconnected beings. We are all part of one fabric. In a sense, tzitzis, is telling us that God is the grand uniter of all. God is the grand uniter of all. Even things that seem to be apart from one another and different from one another really have commonality within one another from a spiritual perspective. Now, let's go back over here. That's what tzitzis is, right? Shatnes. Tzitzis overcomes the opposite of the fabrics that don't go together. And marriage reflects this thought. Opposites or difference that don't necessarily go together. Tzitzis, meaning tcheles, is the idea of taking things which are disconnected or opposite one of, and might be, and we from our limited perspective might see disconnection or polar opposites from one another. And instead of seeing polar opposites, Tchela says, no, there is a connection. There is a commonality here. And that connection is based on a divine spark that exists within all parts of existence, of the world, of the universe, and divine sparks that exist within all of us. So, if we want to know, really, what is the big idea of tzitzis? We have three parshios in Shema. To see Hashem, and to acknowledge Hashem, to acknowledge His mitzvos. And what's the third parsha that we say in Shema every day, Vayomer? It's about understanding that the pathway to acknowledging Hashem, the pathway to seeing Hashem in our lives, is through taking these, is through, number one, infusing Hashem in the natural world, in the world, and by taking things which seem to be not Kodesh, and making them into Kedusha. Things that seem to be disconnected, and making them Kodesh. Shatnes, two things that are inherently don't go together. Tzitzis says, no, there is a perspective. When we take it from the divine perspective, they can go together. Husband and wife really do go together. On first glance, they may not look like they go together. But male and female do go together. The pathway to Shema is through Tcheles. This is giving you the on-ramp to Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And that on-ramp is to be able to have this perspective, the perspective that the divine spark that exists within me exists within you. And although you look very different than me, and that you appear very different than me, you may even behave differently than me, but at the core, we are connected. And that's true amongst human beings, and it's true within the world at large, that we live in a world which all has a divine spark within it. Why is Tcheles the third paragraph that we say every day? Because if you want to know how to get, it's not just that to realize that Hashem is part of everything. It's if you really want to get to this divine level, this high level of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, to acknowledge Hashem, if we really want to get to Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, to do the Mitzvos properly, the on-ramp to that is the third paragraph of Shema. That's the methodology. The first two paragraphs are giving you the goal. The third paragraph is giving you the manual, how to do it. And the manual how to do it is through Tcheles. Taking things which are opposite, different, disconnected, and making them part of one unified whole by recognizing that everything has a divine spark within it. And I think that that's a big idea. I don't think that's a small idea at all. I think tzitzis as the first, third paragraph of Shema is a very big idea. especially as it relates to human relationships, right? That we don't like people, we don't get along with people, we disagree with them, we have machlokas with them. But if we understand that we all have an itzot of kedusha, of neshama within it, then perhaps we can find a commonality. And that's true, with the world at large. And if I may say, just a small 9/11, commentary here, and that is that I think that a world that would be based on tcheles, seeing commonality amongst people, even between Jews and Gentiles, not just within the family, even within the family of humanity as a whole, to be able to see, B'Tzelem Elokim Bara, if we and people as a whole would have that perspective, what I call the tcheles perspective, then perhaps we would live in a world which was worthy of Mashiach Tzidkenu. That would be a time that would be worthy of a messianic era, where people were able to see the commonality through the differences, because ultimately that's the Ribbono Shel Olam's perspective. So Ronnie pointed out that most tzitzis that we have today are white tzitzis. And there's some people, there's some poskim, some great rabban who say, we will only have the tcheles back Mashiach tzeit, when Mashiach comes. And I would argue that at least from a philosophical perspective, perhaps it's worthwhile to start with tcheles. And if we start with tcheles, philosophically speaking, I don't mean the tcheles necessarily on the tzitzis, we start with tcheles as a way of life, then we will bring the Mashiach, who will bring about a tcheles that everyone will ascribe to. Okay?
Try it.
Okay, Yirtzeh Hashem.
I got to everything. Yeah, that doesn't always happen. It's Mashiach Tzai. Okay, next week, Yirtzeh Hashem, 11:45, same time.